Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I am going to welcome Dan and Trish. I want to give them as much time as possible. Come on up, you guys. Again, long-term friends of the house here. I know that Dan carries a great word in his heart, and Trish, they carry a great passion. So let's give them a hand. Bless them.
So good to be here. First of all, we just want to thank you all for coming alongside of us. Many of you pray for us, and oh, we cannot tell you how much we appreciate that. And some of you give to us financially, and we just really cannot tell you what God is doing in Thailand. It's amazing. We hope you have the opportunity to come out sometime. The children are absolutely amazing, and they love well. They've learned how to love. Isn't that the best thing anyway? So anyway, thank you from all of our hearts, the bottom of our hearts, for your involvement in Thailand. We take you with us when we go. So God bless you.
All right. Yes. I just want to reiterate what Trish just said. We are so thankful and grateful for you. I mean, you know, you are family. You know, and any time we're able to get together, it is like, you know, family reunion, you know. And even on occasion, we get to eat. That's what family reunions are all about, right? We need to get rid of that one. Closer to my mouth. I never thought that would be a problem with my mouth. Anyway, all right. Yeah, you know, in case some of you don't recognize me. Yeah, I decided to grow a mask. You know. Yeah, no, we got home from Thailand after several months in Thailand. We got back, barely got out of Thailand. That's when COVID was starting to hit the world, especially in South Korea. We had to go through there. That one of our flights got canceled, and we got another. We got home on March the 3rd, and you know, it's been an interesting season, and I'm going to address that again in a little bit. But we do thank you so much for just being the family you are and giving. And some of you are aware from our e-newsletters that we've got a number of projects that, you know, it's kind of like the Lord to start something when we're not there. So we really have to walk in faith, and some building projects and other things. And again, thank you. Susie and the church here have adopted some of these projects. Just want to let you know, in case you don't, out in the foyer, there's like one of these little, a $2,200 project to buy a water filtration system for the land that we're on. We had to build a house there very quickly, and a washing machine. You know, with all those children, washing clothes is a full-time job, and what they had was not adequate. So water pump, filtration system, and a washing machine. And you can go out and check and see where we are on the thermometer of that fundraising. There's still some to go. And if you want to give towards that today or at some other point, just make a check out to Courageous Love and make sure you either get it to us or after today you could give it to Susie. And thank you so much for that. Really, really do appreciate that. And also, for those that do not yet get our e-newsletters, want to kind of be kept up to date with what's going on with the ministry in Thailand, there is a sign-up sheet out there, and you just make sure you put your name, your address, and your email address on there. And above all else, make sure your email address is legible. If I can't read it, sorry, you know, you won't get it. So thank you so much for that. And do want to thank you again for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. We love you guys so much. And it's good to be back. It's good to be back. I want to do some things with the time that we have. do something that maybe is a little bit different. Even though you may not be able to understand the words, I think you'll be able to pick up on the spirit. How many are familiar with the Carrie Jobe song, The Blessing? The Lord bless you, the keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. You know, that is a commanded blessing. It's not a suggestion. God told Aaron, he said, you have to do this. This is what I want to do, but you have to proclaim it. So it's a commanded blessing. And so that song now has gone worldwide in a number of many countries in many different languages. We want to share the Thai version with you. And what is powerful about that for us is the fact that a number of the people in this, we know. They're friends. They're people that we know, that we've ministered with, that we love. So if that'll play, let's do that now. And you can at least sense, if not understand the language, you get the spirit. Wow. All right, I hope I can talk now. Yeah. What's amazing about that is that in every culture, every language, when there's an anointing on it, you know it. Something gets communicated heart to heart, spirit to spirit, and just felt like it was our pleasure to be able to share that with you here this morning. Such lovely and precious people. And we feel like it's such an honor for us to be able to minister there, to partner with you. You partner with us in ministering in that land, especially with the children. How amazing that is to see little lives changed and transformed and launched into their God-given identities and destinies. And so again, thank you so much for your faithfulness in that. I want to This is really a different season, right? I mean, who knew? In the new year, Trish and I, and many, I'm sure many of you as well, felt like, you know, 2020, it's a brand new year, and we just all sensed in the Holy Spirit, and it was true, that this was going to be a very different year, and we had such expectations, and God said, yep, it's just, and learning how to try to navigate through all of that with what has gone on. I know that when the COVID thing first hit and we knew there was going to have to be, even when we were still in Thailand in February, our sense was, really felt like God was calling us, but also to the church, to a season of Sabbath rest. That I know for us there, when we hit the ground there, there's a supernatural anointing on it because we are able to do things there we can't do here, seriously, in terms of up early, going hard. I mean, full tilt. And physically, emotionally, spiritually, there is such a grace and anointing on that. What's happened when you walk in your measure of rule, your metron, there's something about that. You know, your gifts will operate anywhere, but when you're in your metron, your realm of sphere of authority, they go to a whole different level. And Trish can be dead asleep on the plane, and when we get within half an hour of Bangkok, she wakes up because she can feel it. Yeah, she feels it. So it is such a pleasure to be there. So it's a season of Sabbath rest. But we felt like it was not only for us because the church has gotten so busy. But not always about the Father's business. And somehow or other, I'm not saying it's here, but in a lot of places, you know, things that have been held up as kind of, wow, that's awesome, that's where we need to go, you know. Big screen, skinny jeans, and smoke machines, you know. And God is saying, that ain't it. That's not it. And it's really, we felt for us personally, but we now know it to be true. God was pulling us into a place of reevaluating.
No, you forgot the soy latte.
Oh, and the soy lattes too. Yeah, big screens, skinny jeans, smoke machines, and soy lattes, which doesn't rhyme, but we get it. You know, you can get yours in the lobby. But a season of God saying, I'm just going to bring everything to a forced halt. And for what reason? You know, it isn't just that we're being, quote, persecuted. It says, no, you need to stop and take stock of who you are, who I am, and what this is all about. And that the culture does not get to define who we are, and it should not define how we walk. That I understand the efforts to try to be relevant to the culture, but there's a line that gets crossed in which the culture actually begins to define us. And God says, no, that's not. And so we've been shaken. We have been shaken. And this chaos. And I was sitting down here in front, and there was one of the songs talked about chaos. And the Lord says, it's nothing to me. Read Genesis chapter 1. There was chaos, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the chaos, and out of that, he created order. And that in the midst of the chaos that we're living in, we don't have to yield to that. But when Holy Spirit begins to move, he creates something out of that. And that's what he's doing right now. There's a lot of stuff that is being shaken off. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, actually quotes a prophecy in the book of Haggai. Says, yet once more I will shake not only the heavens, but the earth. Why? So that everything that can be shaken, everything that is really not grounded in him, will fall away. And then it talks about, you know, that our God is a fearful God. You know, he's a living fire. And that sounds a little bit scary, but if you read in Haggai, that same prophecy says, for what purpose? So that the glory of the Lord will be restored. He said that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. So that the purpose of the shaking is to bring us into a place where his glory, not our glory, not a feigned or created glory, but his glory will begin to fill the house, will begin to fill his church, to fill the body of Christ. And God is up to something, and it has never changed. What I'm going to do right now is read something to you and try to connect some dots if I could. Let me back up here. Where am I? I'm in Elk River. That's where I am. All right. Recently, Trish and I have actually began reading, actually not just reading, praying apostolic prayers in the Bible. And there's an apostolic prayer. It's actually three prayers, but I've made it one prayer in the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to use this as to kind of launch into something here. If I can, and it begins what I've done here, I love the iPad because you can go in and edit it. I've got the verses there, but what I did is I personalized it, you know, for me or for us, and I personalized rather than saying him, saying you. So personally for me and God. So I'm going to read it that way, but I'm going to read it for us. All right. So beginning in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verses 17, it says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, knowledge of you, meaning the Lord, the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened so that we would know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of your power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of your might, which you brought about in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then in chapter 2, beginning with verse 4, but you, God, being rich in mercy because of your great love with which you loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come you might show the surpassing riches of your grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the for you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name and identity, that you would grant to us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know by experience the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be able, that we may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to you, Lord, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's a meal right there. That's a meal right there. But I love that. It's so rich and there's so much in there. Talks about what Christ has done and the promises of God and our position in him. And by the way, we were singing a song up here a little bit earlier about authority. And all authority functions out of relationship. Any authority that is not grounded in relationship is, in fact, a rebellious rebel spirit. And so the authority we walk in is the authority that we have in relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the delegated authority that we walk and talk and speak as him, as ambassadors, not for ourselves, not for our own purposes, but for his. But in Ephesians chapter 3, just before that prayer, Paul uses a term here in verse 11. He says, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I've got this underlined three times. Eternal purpose. Eternal purpose. Doesn't say eternal purposes. Eternal purpose. God had one purpose in the beginning. Just one. And everything else is a function of that eternal purpose. I know that I understand it, and I kind of get it, but, a few years ago, there was a famous book written, The Purpose-Driven Life, where we all need to find our purpose. We don't have a purpose apart from his. Our assignment is to carry out his purpose. We have an assignment, not a purpose. We have an assignment to carry out the purpose of God. And as I begin to meditate and think about that, if it is the eternal purpose, it's the purpose that there has never been in all eternity ever been a time when he did not have this purpose in his heart. Now, do I understand how that works? No, I don't. My head wants to explode. So I don't go there. I just say, Lord, before time, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And that he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. I mean, that just, the space and time are created things, by the way. They're temporary. Space and time are created. They didn't exist before God created them. And they're created to help, to give us a context in which we walk out our lives. But what was his eternal purpose? Well, if you read in Genesis chapter 1, his purpose was to create not just the heavens and the earth, but to create beings that were like him. Beings that were like him. That shared, that had bodies. They were different in the sense that they had physical bodies. But the real characteristics were that they shared his nature, his character, his holiness, his love. Above all else, his love. He said, "Let us create man in our own image. Male and female created he them." Genesis chapter 1, and then what? He said, and that we're going to give them authority. We're going to place them on the earth in this created, this physical realm in which what I want them to do is establish in this physical realm the reality of heaven. When Jesus said, pray this way, on earth as it is in heaven, what he was saying we need to pray is the restoration of what God intended in the beginning. In the beginning, there was not a separation of heaven and earth. They coexisted together. That's just my opinion, but I believe it's true. And so he said, I'm going to give you dominion, reign, authority to reign and rule and to extend my kingdom over this planet. You know, and to push out the forces of darkness. The forces of darkness were already there. You know, Lucifer and his angels had already somehow or other fallen to the earth. But out of the Garden of Eden to be expanded out for man to exercise kingdom authority to reign and rule as co-regents, co-heirs, and as ambassadors on the planet. But you know what happened? Sin came in. And we've all, sometimes have fallen victim to the idea, well, then God had to resort to plan B. He has no plan B. His purpose has never changed. Our perspectives on it may have changed, but his have never changed. He knew from before time what needed to happen. And so his goal primarily, if I can just kind of oversimplify, I'm going to oversimplify, but it's still true. And I ask that, you know, study it, read about it, pray about it. But his primary purposes were two, to create beings that were like himself, and number two, to give them dominion, reign, and rule on the earth. His plan was not originally for us to die and go to heaven. His plan was for heaven to occupy the earth. And he gave us authority here to bring that into reality. So our walk of obedience now is not to prepare for the rapture, to go live in heaven. What our walk of obedience is to actually understand the gospel is the gospel of a kingdom, not the gospel of salvation. Salvation is entrance into the kingdom. Jesus talked about being born again one time and one time only as far as we know. But the gospels are full, and even the book of Acts with Paul declaring the kingdom of heaven is here. It has arrived, is at hand. Stand up, walk in the kingdom authority we have. Take dominion over the forces of darkness. And see the glory of God cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Jesus said, for this purpose I came to preach the kingdom. Jesus said it. My purpose is to preach the kingdom. And then in 1 John says that for this purpose the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. Not to leave the devil here while we go live somewhere else. But to establish the dominion, the reign and rule, the superiority, the glory, the holiness, the righteousness of God on earth so that men and women, young and old, all over, actually have an encounter with the reality of who he is and his character and his nature. First Peter says this, he says, he has given us these great and precious promises that by them we might become partakers of what? Of religion, of church life, that we would become partakers, sharers in his divine nature. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the primary function of the Holy Spirit in us individually and in the church is to make us like Jesus. to make it. And that, for some of us, that's a major work. There's a lot of ground to cover. There's a lot of dying that needs to go on. You know, in Romans chapter 1, he said, I urge you therefore, brethren. We like chapter, second verse, you know, that don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform is transfiguration. I mean, that involves more than just, yeah, I mean, that's everything. But he says, you know, that we might prove what the will of God is, that we might actually put on display and demonstrate the will of God. But verse 1 says this, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's awesome. The only problem with living sacrifices is we keep crawling off the altar. He says, no, you've been crucified. You are a living sacrifice, but you're also a dead one. You've been crucified. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life that I now live in this body, in the flesh, I live by faith and confidence and trust in the name and the nature of God. That's the nature of faith. Faith is trust in the character and the nature of God, not in his existence. The devils believe in his existence. They have no faith. Faith is trust in his goodness, in his love, in his nature, his character, in who he is. And that's what he's about. Says in Galatians, Paul says this to the Galatian church. It had kind of slid back into legalism, which is really easy to do. It's easier to live by rules and regulations than to live by faith. Trust me, I know. Because I sometimes have a tendency to go back into that. Well, let's just follow the rules and regulations rather than, Lord, what are you saying? And then being stretched by taking steps of faith. Trish and I have had to take steps of faith that defied both of us in terms of, God, what are you doing here? You know, rather than, oh, just give me, you know, we would rather have, oh, just tell us what to do. We'll do it. That's what a servant does. That's what a servant does. Just give me my orders. I'll go carry out my duties. You know, at 4 o'clock, I'm off. You know, but that's not what a son or a daughter does. A son or a daughter is a son or a daughter 24/7. We still serve, but we serve out of a different spirit. And so this walk of faith that Paul says to the Galatian church, he said, I am in labor. You ladies would get this, is giving childbirth, the painfulness of it. I'm in labor until Christ be formed in you. Okay, I'll land this thing here real quick. All right? We're charismatic, Pentecostals, whatever. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What is the purpose of those giftings? To equipping us for what? For works until when? And for the unity of the faith. And we often will stop there. But here's what it says. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. His goal is to make us like Jesus, not figuratively, but literally, which requires some dying, being reborn, but learning how to walk in confidence and trust in faith. And to understand that once we've been purchased, we don't belong to ourselves. Paul twice in 2 Corinthians, I believe, says this. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You don't belong to you. If you're in Christ, you don't belong to you. You belong to him. He will give you yourself back with a new identity, but it will always be rooted and grounded in a walk of trust and faith and intimacy and obedience to him, regardless of the chaos that is going on around us. I mean, I think about what is going on in our country right now, and it's real easy to get scared and whatever, go crazy, get angry, but God is so powerfully at work. I don't think it's a coincidence that we had, you know, what would it have taken for us to have something like that just happened? Was it called The Return? Yeah. I don't know if you watched any of that. We watched it all, and it was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. When to bring the body of Christ together, or this thing to hear. It's gone all over the world now in many languages, many countries. The blessing. God is up to something. He has an eternal purpose. And it is the glory of God, the kingdom of God manifested in our midst on the earth, and for us to be transformed, transfigured into the very image, the nature, the character of Jesus Christ. We need to think differently. And we need to pursue in humility. And it starts... I know God really did a work in me yesterday, and I'm sure he did with Trish. We were kind of with God in different places yesterday, listening to the messages in The Return and the call to repentance. The call to repentance of just laying down our lives, laying down our agendas, our programs. And Lord, whatever agenda there is that you have, you can raise it up. But we lay down our agendas, our plans. We submit ourselves to you for your kingdom purposes, that we would actually be able to demonstrate to the world the nature and character of Jesus Christ through our own lives. Not just words, but our deeds, our anointings, our giftings, our callings. So thank you for being who you are in him. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, that everybody here is after the same thing. I just want to encourage you. I hope this is an encouragement, which, by the way, courage is not a suggestion. God said to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Only be strong and courageous." In spite of what they faced in the land, he said, "I'll give you everywhere the soles of your feet tread, but you must be strong and courageous." It's a choice. It's a choice not to yield to fear, timidity, but to rise up and to walk in courage. So, Lord, right now, I just thank you so much for your people. I bless them. Lord, I just pray that you will take this word and that you will plant it deep in their hearts for your kingdom purposes. Lord, I pray for a work of transformation in every one of our lives, that in the shaking and the chaos that's going on, that we would discover resurrection, recreation, life, your glory, your joy, your peace, your righteousness, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray. One last quick thing here. You've often heard, no justice, no peace. The Lord said to me, you know, it's the chant from demonstrators, no justice, no peace. Well, the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. And the Lord said to me the other day, he says, no righteousness, no justice. No righteousness in the land, there will not be any justice. And so I just say yes to that.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.